Iranian president says establishing an Islamic bank would improve world economy. African Union invites Iran's foreign minister to attend the bloc's upcoming summit in Addis Ababa. Iranian defense minister calls for the establishment of joint military organization among Muslim states. And dozens of people are killed or injured in a spate of bombings across Afghanistan. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The Iranian president says establishing an Islamic bank and rendering standard services would improve world economy. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made the remarks in a meeting with President of Islamic Development Bank, Ahmad Mohammad Ali, in Tehran. President Ahmadinejad said Islamic banks can bring just development, eradicate poverty, and solve problems facing the world. He further said, rules and regulations of the Islamic Bank have roots in Islamic teachings. The Iranian president added, the current international banking system tries to transfer money from the poor to the capitalists. He pointed out that the U.S. Central Bank is now printing money without any financial support, which means they are pickpocketing the poor in favor of special individuals. The president said the establishment of Islamic banks with circulation of Islamic money can help improve the current world economy. For his part, the president of the Islamic Development Bank said Iran is now regarded as one of the biggest supporters of the bank. The African Union has invited Iran's Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi to attend the bloc's upcoming summit in Ethiopia's capital city of Addis Ababa in late January. Salehi's visit to Addis Ababa comes upon the invitation of the chairwoman of the AU Commission for the 22nd meeting of AU Executive Council and the 20th AU Summit. During the visit, Salehi plans to discuss Iran's cooperation with the AU and its ties with some African countries, meet African heads of states and foreign ministers, elaborate on Iran's domestic and international policies, and attend press conferences. Iran's rotational presidency over the non-aligned movement, the presence of high-ranking African officials at the summit, and the news about the Zionist regime's efforts to participate in the event are among the issues that spotlight Iran's presence at the summit. The Iranian defense minister says the country has called for the establishment of a joint military organization among Muslim states to defend the oppressed people wherever needed. My colleague Omid Haydari has a scoop.
Defense Minister Brigadier General Ahmed Vahidi says it is Muslims' duty to defend oppressed people's rights, such as Palestinians, against African powers. The Iranian Defense Minister said Muslim states should not be third-rate powers, but must turn into one superior military power and do not allow any aggressor to think about invading Islamic countries. Vahidi added that unity of Muslims can disappoint enemies who seek to create division among Islamic countries to keep him back. He described the Zionist regime as the worst enemy of the Islamic countries and called for their unity against the regime. Commenting on Iran's military power, Vahidi said Iran is independent in terms of military equipment and its defense doctrine is based on indigenous capabilities as well as extensive cooperation with Islamic countries. Elsewhere, Iran's defense minister said the deployment of NATO Patriot missiles along the Turkish-Syrian border is not useful and will cause misunderstanding among countries in the Middle East. Vahidi described the presence of foreign forces in the region as not positive, which will not have any good outcome. Referring to the crisis in Syria, Vahidi pointed out that the only solution to issues in the Arab state is to hold national talks. He noted that the intervention of foreign forces in Syria is detrimental. Vahidi said Iran's rationale with regards to the Syrian crisis is very clear, as Iran believes the country and the army, which is at the forefront of the struggles against the Zionist regime, should not be weakened.
The Iranian embassy in Iraq says a number of people injured in terrorist attacks in the northern Iraqi province of Salahuddin have been transferred to the Islamic Republic for treatment. An Iranian airplane arrived in the Iraqi city of Soleimaniyah on Saturday to transfer those injured in the terrorist attacks to Iran for treatment. At least 42 people were killed and more than 70 others injured on January 23 when an explosion hit a funeral ceremony at a mosque in the town of Tuz Harmato and north of Baghdad. Iran has repeatedly condemned the terrorist attacks in Iraq, warning about attempts made by the enemies of the Iraqi people to fuel sectarian and tribal conflicts in the country. The Speaker of Iran's Majlis or the Parliament says extremist groups in Syria should be blamed for current problems in that country. Ali Larijani made a remark while addressing an international seminar to exalt personality of senior Iranian cleric Ayatollah Muhammad Ali Tashkiri. Larijani said the hardliners and extremist groups, backed by foreign money and facilities, have sown seeds of dissension in the world of Islam. He said the hardliners have created pessimism and disturbance in the Muslim world. The Iranian Majlis Speaker further said, the extremist groups have now turned into an internal problem for the Muslim world, harming Muslims more than foreign problems. He went on to say the extremist groups have caused political strife in the Muslim world, as is shown in Syria. The Pakistani Foreign Ministry spokesman has highlighted Iran's significant role in the promotion of peace process in Afghanistan. Muazzam Ali Khan said, Iran's significant role in the Afghan peace process cannot be overlooked, and peace in the region is impossible without cooperation among Iran and its neighbors. Pakistan's foreign ministry spokesman added that his country is working with Iran, Russia, and China to help improve peace in war-stricken Afghanistan. The United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in 2001 as part of Washington's so-called War on Terror. The offensive removed the Taliban from power, but the country is still grappling with insecurity. Another recap of our top stories. The Iranian president says establishing an Islamic bank would improve world economy. African Union invites Iran's foreign minister to attend the bloc's upcoming summit in Addis Ababa. Iranian Defense Minister calls for establishment of joint military organization among Muslim states. And dozens of people are killed or injured in spate of bombings across Afghanistan. Ten people have been killed in a suicide bombing in the northern Afghanistan city of Kunduz and the later strings of blasts that mostly target civilians. In another incident in the Afghan city of Ghazni, a bomb exploded near a police checkpoint in the area, due to which the bomber and two other people were killed and a few others injured. No one has claimed responsibility for the attacks.
A suicide bomber blew himself up here in Kunduz city that has murdered a number of our innocent people, including the chief of counterterrorism and a head of the Kunduz traffic police.
Meantime, Taliban militants say they have killed a Polish soldier serving with the U.S.-led NATO forces in a bomb attack carried out in central Afghanistan. A bomb explosion occurred in the war-torn country's central province of Ghazni, killing the soldier who was on patrol in Shalgar area. Two other Polish soldiers were reportedly wounded in the attack. The new casualty brought to nearly 40 the number of Polish troops killed in Afghanistan since March 2002, when Poland deployed its troops to Afghanistan. The increasing number of military casualties in Afghanistan has caused widespread anger in the U.S. and other NATO member states, undermining public support for the Afghan war. At least 26 people have been killed in clashes with security forces in Port Said after death sentences were handed to Egyptians linked to the country's worst soccer violence. The Cairo Criminal Court on Saturday sentenced 21 people to death over the death of 74 people in February 2011 in a violent soccer riot in Port Said. The incident took place after fans of home site Al-Masri clashed with Cairo's Al-Ahli in the city, sparking days of violent protests in Cairo in which another 16 people were also killed. Cairo Criminal Court is set to announce its ruling on the remaining 52 soccer riot defendants, who include 9 policemen, 3 officials, and those who allegedly used the opportunity to stoke unrest on March 9, 2013. Athens metro services have returned to normal after 9 days of closure that disrupted the public transport network in the Greek capital and caused havoc to the system's 1.1 million daily commuters. Here's a scoop.
The Athens metro, tram and electric railway resumed normal service Friday afternoon after almost 10 days of protest as employees were given civil mobilization orders and the government suggested it would ease the impact of wage cuts on some special categories of public transport workers. Everything started when the government announced it would trim metro employees' wages by incorporating their salary status in the general new public sector wage scheme. Shortly before 4 a.m. on Friday, dozens of riot police officers broke through the gate of the metro's main train depot and ousted most striking workers. At the same time, authorities continued to deliver civil mobilization papers to some 2,500 transport employees, by some considered an attack to employee rights and by others considered a necessity and token of strength by the government. What remains certain is that most commuters are fed up of the strike that had brought Athens to a general standstill for many days. Governmental partners had opposed the use of the civil mobilization process and favored further negotiations with the workers, who were demanding that the government fulfill their collective contract. The new public sector pay scheme uses employees' education qualifications as the main guide for determining wages, but metro unions point out that some of its drivers and other technical staff have basic education but vital skills. Despite the unrest, people seem rather indifferent to the demands of the workers in a job field that has been considered extremely privileged with comparatively high payrolls compared to other sectors. While political temperature keeps rising, earlier today employees gradually returned to work in the wake of the ruling coalition's high-risk decision to forcibly mobilize them under threat of arrest. But just a couple of hours later, new marches took place in central Athens opposing the austerity permeating the MOU and related parliamentary bills. Workers belonging to the political fraction of the leftist group PAME took to the streets in central Athens, leaving the city blocked. With a strike seen as a test of the government's resolve to take on unions opposed to austerity measures demanded by the Troika, the move by the Prime Minister has been described as a token of authoritarian rule. But it has also been considered as an expression of the willingness of the government to keep its promises and deliver all structural reforms as promised. With the help of an emergency law usually used at times of war or natural disaster, the Greek government finally cracked on a general strike imposed by the workers of the Greek subway that had brought Athens to a general standstill for multiple days. This is considered, ahead of new protests and social unrest for 2013, the first main test of the government of Prime Minister Antonis Samaras. Lucas Germanos, Shabaki Khabar, Athens.
And before wrapping up, meantime, thousands of Greek workers have staged a demonstration in the capital city of Athens to show solidarity with disgruntled public transport workers. Protesters marched toward Parliament to voice their opposition to new pay cuts for transport workers and the government's emergency law that forced subway workers to halt their strike. Subway workers' strike came after the government issued a rare emergency law to workers who defied a court ruling declaring their protest as illegal. Some 300 riot police forces stormed the workers' sit-in at the depot early in the morning to take charge over the worsening transport crisis as bus workers went on solidarity strike with their union colleagues. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.